Amen. Why don't we lift up our hands and love the Lord right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I love you, God. Lord Jesus, you have been so good, God. Thank you for every miracle, Jesus. Thank you for everything you've ever done, Lord, in my life, Jesus. God, it's because of you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It's because of you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. If you could just remain standing, we're going to go right to the word of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that charge. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for me to preach the word of God. This is what God's called me to do. And I'm so thankful for every opportunity. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14, verse 13. Amen. If you don't have your Bible, I encourage you, bring a Bible. Amen. If you can't remember to bring it, bring one, leave it here. Amen. And have one at the house too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I kept forgetting my Bible and I just said, okay, I'm going to get one for here and one for home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Exodus 14, 13. Amen. We're jumping right into the middle of a story here. But we'll get you some context here in a minute. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Can we pray, Lord Jesus? I ask you right now, Lord, your word's already anointed, Lord Jesus. As we have heard, God, your word is good. Lord Jesus, if we will hear your word, if we will respond to what you say, Lord Jesus, God, we will have a miracle in our life, Jesus. We will have something happen, oh God, that will help us today, Lord. I ask you, Jesus, to anoint our ears, Lord God. Anoint, Lord, and open our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, to receive you, to bless you, Lord God, and to respond in faith, Lord God, to your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Amen. I want to speak to you just for a moment on this topic or this title. You can't go back and you can't stand still. You can't go back and you can't stand still. This was the reality in Exodus 14. See, God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt with a strong and mighty hand. He had worked great, great miracles. He had done 10 different miracles, plagues, if you will. You had the locusts and the flies and the frogs and boils and lightning and hail and fire and all of these things. And then he brought them out by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The Lamb's blood was applied to the doorposts and the lintels of the houses. And I'm summarizing here. Go back, you can read it. It's a short read because it's exciting when you read the Bible. Exodus, you can read 1 through 14 and get caught up. Amen. Don't do it now. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I watch people open their Bibles and just read the Bible the whole time. Listen to what the Word of the Lord's saying through the man of God. Amen. But here, the preacher... Amen. Moses, the man that God chose to deliver Israel, he led them out. And they're walking through the wilderness. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh realizes what he's done. He has just released his entire workforce. How are they going to build these treasure cities? How are they going to build these pyramids? How are they going to get all this stuff done? Because the Egyptians aren't going to do the work. So here, Moses leads them out. And God leads them with the cloud and with the fire. He leads them to the edge of the Red Sea. And now they're in a very desperate situation. They have the Red Sea in front of them. And it's very deep. You can look on Google Earth and see how deep it is. They got the Red Sea in front of them. They've got cliffs, walls of rock to either side. And then Pharaoh is on their back. And God is dividing Egypt from his people, from their women and their children and their cattle and everything that they had brought out of Egypt with them. And so Pharaoh's army is behind them. And they could never attempt to scale the cliffs. They had millions of people. They could have never made it up to the top of those cliffs to escape. And if they were to go back, they would surely die. They'd be killed, slaughtered by the Egyptian army. And if they go forward, they will drown. They're in a very dire, desperate situation. And so Moses tries to calm them. He gives them the most, by the way, the most frequent commandment in Scripture. Fear not. He says, fear ye not. This isn't in my notes, but you know, the most commonly diagnosed mental health issue is anxiety. It's true. It's like the common cold of mental health issues. And as opposed to the fear that we have, the greatest commandment or the most frequently used commandment in Scripture is fear not. Isn't that something? God's Word is opposed to your fear. If you'll believe God's Word, God will release you from that fear. Amen? Let's pray right now that God will release somebody from fear today. Is that all right? Why don't we stand together? I know, this isn't time to pray yet, right? No, this is the house of prayer. God, release us from fear, God. Lord, in every dark dominion, Lord Jesus, that would try to come and control us, Lord Jesus, that would try to come and bring fear to our lives, God. Yes, we're in dire situations, God. Yes, Lord, there's everything that's surrounding us, Lord God, but you said, fear ye not, Lord, in your word. You said, fear not. You said, peace be unto you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we want peace today, Lord Jesus. Give peace to my brothers and give peace to my sisters, God. Give peace to a mother today, God. Give peace to a grandmother today, Jesus. A grandfather, Lord God. Touch them right now and bless them right now. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Somebody thank the Lord for peace. Thank the Lord that He says, fear not. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Moses, you can be seated. So Moses tries to calm them. He gives them this command. He says, stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says, fear ye not. God's going to fight for you. He does his best to calm them down. But I can imagine, Pastor, you got the little kids and the women that maybe somebody scream, look at that army. Look at those chariots that are coming and look at the cliffs around. And there was fear in the people. And the Lord tells Moses, he says, why are you praying? Why are you crying to me? He says, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, that they go forward. God had other plans than for them to sit there and die. Or for them to go back into Egypt. God says, tell the people to move forward. Don't stand still. Don't go back. Move forward. So I came here today to tell you that you can't change the past. You can't live in the past. And we can't afford to get stuck where we are. It is vital that we move forward. Forward. Your spiritual life depends on whether or not you're going to move forward in God. Your spiritual life and your physical life depends on whether or not you're going to obey the commandment of the Lord and grow and move forward and increase. Amen. Hallelujah. Does anybody believe that God wants you to move forward today? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God wants us to be free from the past, including the sins that we were slaves to, including past trauma. Say, I've been abused, I've been mistreated, I've been molested. God wants you to be free from that past. He wants you to be free from past pain and past heartache and the habits that are condemning you and keeping you where you are. He wants you to be free from the flesh patterns that you're part of in your life, those habits that you can continue to be stuck in and those chains of bondage. Amen. God wants to bring you forward. He wants to make you Christ-like. He wants to make you like Him. And the only way for you to do that is to hear the word of the Lord that says, move forward. Today, move forward. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is a very serious passage of Scripture. It's calling out sin just like it is. Amen. But you know, the Word of God telling you that you're wrong will not make you free. The law came, the Old Testament law that came through Moses came to tell you that you were wrong. It doesn't make you free. What makes you free is when you respond in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ that says, come on out of your past. Come on out of that sick way you used to live. Come on out of those sins. Amen. You can be free today if you will move forward. And so this passage of Scripture was Paul talking to the Corinthian church, and there were some serious things going on in the Corinthian church. There was some terrible things going on. They're more than PG, so I can't even talk about them in a mixed company. Amen. There were bad things that happened. But look at what Paul says in verse 11. He says, and such were some of you. Past tense. But ye are washed. Present tense. Ye are, present tense, sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. He has set us free. Hallelujah. He has released the captives. Amen. From prison. Amen. God does not fix or change our past. Common misunderstanding is that God is going to somehow go back in time and undo all the sins that you did. That's not true. God does not go back in the past and change the guilt and change the things that you've done and change all of the stuff that you got yourself into. God doesn't do that. He doesn't change it and He doesn't fix it. But what He does do is He sets us free from the past, never to return. Just like He told the children of Israel. He said, you see those Egyptians? You will never see them again. You will never see them another day in your life. Amen. And if you will believe, if you will walk through the plan of salvation, if you will respond to the gospel, you can be free from sin, never to go back again in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the power of the gospel. Colossians 2:14 says that it says blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Praise the Lord. Just like He did with the Egyptian army. He spoiled them. He completely destroyed them. Moses lifted up the rod and the people walked forward through the sea. Praise the Lord. And as they walked forward, there were walls on either side, but they were walls of water. And they walked through on dry land. Praise the Lord. And as they walked through, the Egyptians said, "Wow, look what's happening. They're going through the Red Sea. How are we going to get them?" And then God removed that pillar of fire and that cloud. He removed it from between them. And Pharaoh and his army raced down into the Red Sea. And as they were racing in, and as they got in, I can imagine that God let the entire army come into that Red Sea. And as the people were walking through, behind them, the past was removed. Behind them, their enemies died. Behind them, the enemies drowned completely. Amen. That's not unlike baptism. Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is for the remission of your sins. Amen. It's so that you can be free from the past, never to return. It's so that the name of Jesus can be put on your life. Amen. And you can be saved and sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Has anybody been baptized in that name? Has anybody received strength from that name? Has anybody conquered the enemy in that name? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It all starts when we turn away from the past. We go through the water and have the name of Jesus applied to us. And we receive the Holy Ghost. God uses that mess of our past. And that's what it was. It was a mess. My past was a mess. He uses that mess to compel us forward. Forward towards Him. Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent. Turn around. Turn away from the past. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." You've got to go through the water. "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You've got to follow the cloud. Hallelujah. But today I wanted to talk to you about what would happen. Here's the warning. What would happen if we go back? Don't worry. Before we get through, I'm going to tell you how to move forward too. But I want to warn you today, what would happen if we go back? We can't go back. You've got to remove that option. Think about the children of Israel. When they made it through the sea, God wasn't going to open that sea back up so they could go back into Egypt. He did open up the River Jordan so they could walk through into the promised land. God opened the path in front of them, but He never reopened the path behind them. Get that. Because God does not want us to go back. God does not want us to return back to sin or return back to the ways that we used to live. Even though we still deal with the same mind and the same heart and the same things that we had, there's consequences to sin. And God doesn't just remove them, but He will help you navigate through them. He will help you to get through the things that you've messed up in the past. And God can write a beautiful story for your life. God can write an amazing story for your life if you'll just follow Him through. Amen. If you'll just walk through. But we can't go back. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And I think out of all the prophets, Jeremiah was probably the most unpopular. Anybody knows the Bible would know Jeremiah was not popular. They tried to assassinate him. They threw him in prison. And I find this interesting, but God would tell Jeremiah to do some crazy things. You know, put a yoke on your neck, right? And God used that to reveal things to Jeremiah and to the people. But there's such an interesting line here in Jeremiah, because for chapter 7, verse 22, and I'm teaching right now, so bear with me. He says, this is Jeremiah 7, 22. He says, and he just got done telling him, you'd have to read all of it, but he just got done telling him that I brought you out of Egypt, and I brought you out of the house of bondage, and I did it with a mighty hand. Exodus story, it's like the gospel in the Old Testament. Every single division or part of the Old Testament contains the Exodus story. You can go look this up. But it's repeated over and over again in generations. And it's even repeated in the Hebrew faith. The Jews today repeat the Exodus story. It's their gospel. We know what the real gospel is. The gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the same as the Exodus story. But Jeremiah repeats the Exodus story. And then he says, for I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ears, but walked in the counsel and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. So what happens if you go backward? Going back would be detrimental to all that God has done for us. And it would be a direct contradiction or affront to the Lord and to our salvation. It would trample underfoot the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going back is not an option. Somebody say that. Going back is not an option. You can't go back. Amen? Jump into Jeremiah 11, verse 10. It sort of thickens. God gets more serious about it. It says, they are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. This is serious. This is God's Old Testament wrath. God gives us chances after chances after chances. And He's serious about this. We can't go back. Somebody say it again. I can't go back. So Jeremiah was sent to Israel and to Judah to tell them this very unfortunate news. And God gave them specific instructions for their survival. Okay? What was happening at the time? Well, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon was the power of the then known world. And they were a great force. And the Bible says God used Nebuchadnezzar. And God gave dreams to Nebuchadnezzar. And God gave interpretation to Daniel. And this is sidetracking, but one of them was that Nebuchadnezzar was a great tree and that all the birds would come and flock and that they were going to provide for the world for what was going on. And so God tells Jeremiah, go talk to the kings and tell them they need to surrender. They need to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. God was going to move them forward in a very unconventional way. Surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, imagine, we're talking about Israel. We're talking about the people that God delivered from Egypt. And as God walked them through the promised land, they conquered every army that was in their way. Well, not everyone, because sometimes they disobeyed God. And God taught them a lesson. Amen. But victory after victory after victory. Saul had killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. They were an unstoppable army when they were in the will of the Lord. And you walk through the kings and all the kings, it was up and down and up and down. Some of them were wicked and some of them were good and some of them were righteous and some of them were just awful, evil. Praise the Lord. And God finally had enough and He said, Nebuchadnezzar's coming, Babylon is coming, and you need to surrender and I will preserve you. You got to move forward. I will preserve you. Said, don't try to resist. Don't try to stand still and don't try to go back to Egypt. And in Jeremiah 42, verse 7, listen to this. This is how serious God was for them to not go back. You risk being destroyed if you go back. Don't go back. Jeremiah 42, 7. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the sons of Kariah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord God, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, if ye will still abide in this land, Then will I build you and not pull you down. And I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. There you go again. Be not afraid. Fear not. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord our God, saying no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. Listen to what they were saying. They got this impression, and it's a completely false impression, that if they went back to Egypt, that they would avoid the war. That they would not hear the noise of the battle. They got this impression that they could go back and avoid all the trouble of the war. We are in a spiritual fight. We're in spiritual warfare right now. And as soon as you declare yourself as a child of God, you know that the devil won't leave you alone. We already talked about it today. We fight from victory, not for victory. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. So we're victorious. Pastor says it all the time. Read the back of the book. We win. Said it last week. Amen. Read the back of the book. We win. Praise the Lord. So if you think, I'm just going to meddle. I'm just going to go back. I'm just going to do some things that I used to do. I'm not going to give it all up, but I'm just going to go back. And all of a sudden you find pleasure in the things that you were doing before. All of a sudden you find pleasure in the things that of sin that you were addicted to before, that you were into before. And yes, totally truthful, yes, of course you'll find pleasure in those things. Of course they're temporary pleasure. But don't you know that that exact thing is what the devil used to attack you before and keep you in sin? That's the exact thing. You think you're avoiding the war. But you're not avoiding the war. You're jumping right into it. You're allowing Satan to continue to bombard your mind instead of believing the truth and having victory and living in victory. Believe the truth of what God's Word says about you. You are a child of God. You are a child of the Most High. Amen. You are more than a conqueror. I'm sorry. I get excited about this. Amen. But we are fighting from victory. Amen. We're fighting from a position. Did you know that Jesus said that we have all the fullness of the power of God when we get the Holy Ghost? Amen. Paul had to keep reminding the church, don't be ignorant about this. Amen. I want you to know the depth and the height and the breadth and the love of God which passeth knowledge. He gives us peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Pastor talked about a man at peace on Wednesday night. Amen. He gives us peace to weather the storms. Amen. He gives us safety and security. Amen. He gives us everything we need. Amen. He finished the work on Calvary so that we could have victory right now today. So when you hear the noise of the battle, it's just another day in victory. Amen. When you hear the shouts and you hear the cries of the enemy, it's just another day of defeat for them. I feel like you guys don't believe what I'm saying. Stand to your feet if you believe it and give God a shout of victory today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's victory. It's victory. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. But going back is not an option. Verse 15, continuing on, it says, "And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. If ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt. And there ye shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. And none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when ye shall enter into Egypt. And ye shall be an execration and an admonishment and a curse and a reproach. And ye shall see this place no more. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Now know certainly that I have admonished you this day." Wow. That is so strong what God said. He doesn't want Israel to go back. And He doesn't want us to go back either. Now God is merciful. And God is kind. And God will teach you patiently. God is more patient. His long suffering, we account it for salvation. Amen. He's able to guide you gently. Amen. He's able to show you the way. But don't risk playing around and going back. Don't risk it. Don't risk it. Amen. Praise God. Neil Anderson in the book Victory Over the Darkness says this: "People aren't in bondage to past traumas, though. They are in bondage to the lies they believe of the traumas, such as, it's my fault mom and dad got divorced, or God doesn't love me, or I'm no good, or I'm always going to be an alcoholic." That's a lie. That's a lie. If you walk in victory, you never have to be an alcoholic again. I'm always going to be an act. That's a lie. You're believing a lie about the past. I will never be an alcoholic again. Amen. I will never be a drug addict again. Amen. But some people hear those lies. And let me tell you exactly where those lies come from. They come from Satan, the father of lies. when you hear Satan lying to you, just know that everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. Amen. I'm not really on this topic, but somebody was having a conversation with AI. Okay? Think about this. I'm not even going to ascribe what I think about this, but I'm just going to say it. And the AI told them something that was inaccurate. And they said, AI, that was a lie you told me. And they said, yes, it was a lie. And then the man said, well, are you sorry for telling me a lie? And he said, oh, yes, I'm sorry. That was another lie. He said, AI, can you feel sorrow? Can you feel emotion? AI said, no, I can't feel emotion. He said, so you lied to me, yes or no? Said, yes. You said sorry, but that was a lie. Yes. See, everything the devil says is a lie. Everything that comes out of his mouth. When you think about this, and I'm going to show you something really quickly that will help you get free from those lies. If you hear a lie, something like, I'll never be good enough. Say something like, I'll never be good enough. The devil tells you that, right? You need to think, if I was saying that, would I say that to myself? Would I say those harmful words to myself? And the answer is no. You wouldn't want to hurt yourself. You wouldn't want to harm yourself or cause yourself pain and suffering. Nobody in their right mind would want to do that. So if you hear those lies, oh, it was my fault that I got hurt or that I got molested or that I got this or that or the other. Those are lies from the enemy. Those are things in which the devil is telling you to keep you in bondage, to keep you where you are, to keep you from growing and moving forward. Let me help you. The truth of God's word says that you are enough. The truth of God's word says that, yes, you did commit sins, but Jesus came to set you free from those sins. The truth of God's word is that you are not condemned. You're convicted, but not condemned. And that's so that you can walk and live free from the past. Amen. You don't have to believe the lies. You can have victory in the truth. Praise the Lord. That's how you can move forward. But listen, our memories are very interesting. You know, we can't, if I think about something that happened way back, one of my earliest memories, I think about the smells and I think about the texture. One of my earliest memories is playing in the mud outside. It was a rainy week in Las Vegas, one of two that we get every year. And I was outside playing in the mud. And whenever it would rain, my mom would always want to make beef stew. So it's one of the things that I have such a vivid memory of. And I'm out there playing in the mud and getting all muddy and I'm all dirty. And my brother and sister, my mom had sent us out to play, but she didn't say, go play in the mud. And we're making mud pies and having a blast. And I can smell the beef stew coming through as my mom would sear that beef. Amen. And just start it boiling. It's such a vivid memory. I can smell it. I can see it. I can sort of taste it. And I can feel it. Such a powerful memory. But we can't ever paint a perfect picture of the past. And you may have fond memories of the past. From when you were in the world. From when you were in the past. But most of us have these vivid memories, but we don't really know the context. I don't know why my mom sent us outside. So if the devil comes to me and starts trying to tell me, mom sent you outside because she rejected you. That's what the devil does. Listen to me. That's what the devil does. He'll come and he'll use something from your past to keep you locked up. to keep you bound. He'll tell you a lie. Well, your mom must have been mad at you that day because she pushed you outside and then she yelled at you when you came back in because she had to clean you up. She doesn't love you. That's a lie. A lie from Satan. And we can't start interpreting the past, even though some of the vivid memories that we have of the past are of trauma, are of horrible things that happened to us, are of things that causes us grief when we think about it, are of things that causes us such pain and anguish on the inside. We think about those lies, and if we start to believe those lies, it will keep you trapped where you are. And most Christians don't move forward in God. It's most Christians stay stuck where they are because they believe the lies of Satan that tells them that they are still trapped. Don't believe the lies. Amen. Say, get thee behind me, Satan, and move forward. I am a child of God. I can walk in victory. Hallelujah. Somebody say it. I can walk in victory. Amen. The worst thing you could probably do is to think that you're broken and will never be more than what you were in the past. Regardless of what the devil might claim, the truth is that you're not the same creature that you once were. You have been born again. And you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Stand up here. Amen. When the devil comes and tries to whisper into your ear, oh, you're broke. You're messed up. You're just a drunk. You're a loser. When he says all those things to you, you say, you know what, Satan? You're right about my old man, but I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. I remember Brother Fred was picking up donuts one time for our donut ministry. I remember this, Brother Fred. Some guy was out front in Stop and Shop, and Brother Fred's bringing out the donuts, and the man says, and you'll have to ask him if I'm wrong about this. You'll have to correct me. But the man says, Fred starts to witness to this guy. He says, what are you bringing the donuts? Well, we help the homeless on Sunday mornings. And you should come. You should come to our church. And he starts telling him his testimony that he was a drug addict. And he used to sell meth. And he used to make meth. And he used to do all these bad things. And the guy says, give me a break, man. He says, if I threw a crack rock on the ground right here, you'd jump on top of it. Those lies came from Satan. And Fred just got this holy anger and this total just indignity. Amen. That was from a righteous God. And he said, if you threw the drugs on the ground, I'd pick it up and throw it in the garbage. I'm free from drugs. I'm never going to be a drug addict again. Praise the Lord. Come on, stand, Brother Fred. I am victorious. Praise the Lord. You're not an alcoholic, bro. You're not addicted. You're victorious. Come on. Praise the Lord. Keep going. Keep moving forward. You can't go back. And you can't stand still. You're free. You're free. You're free. Hallelujah. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's not enough for me to tell you. You may be seated. It's not enough for me to tell you that these lies come from Satan. It's not enough for me to tell you that. If you've ever believed those lies, think about it. If you were ever sitting there alone somewhere and the devil came up and he starts telling you all these lies and you're a loner, you have nobody, nobody loves you, all of this junk that he says. If you ever started believing them and telling them to yourself, listen to me. If you believe a lie, you'll be damned. That's what the Bible says. If you believe a lie, you'll be damned. Revelation in two places talks about liars, and it says that the liars are going to go into the lake of fire. So it's not enough for me to tell you that Satan's telling you these lies, and for you to say, okay, I believe that those lies are coming from Satan. If you've ever told yourself those lies, you need to renounce them in the name of Jesus Christ. You need to repent that you ever believed those lies. You need to repent and say, I believe Jesus. I believe His Word. I believe what God says about me. I will not ever believe those lies again. God, I repent for ever saying them to myself. I repent for ever believing them. God, I repent for ever talking that way to myself. Amen. So when I give an altar call, if you've ever said those things to yourself, if you ever let the devil whisper into your ear, you got to come up to this altar and say, God, forgive me for ever believing those lies. I don't believe those lies. I believe the truth. I want to move forward. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray right now. Jesus, I'm sorry for ever saying those things to myself, God. I'm sorry for ever listening to the devil and giving him an audience of my heart and of my mind. God, I'm sorry for ever thinking those things about myself. I'm sorry for ever allowing the devil to continue to tell me things that keep me bound, God. Lord Jesus, come on, somebody cry out to the Lord right now. Lord Jesus, I ask you, God, to come and bring the truth into my life. God, I ask you to come bring healing to my heart. God, I ask you to come and bring the things, Lord Jesus, that will set me free, Lord God. I believe the truth of your word. I believe the truth of your word, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, forgive me and set me free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, by your response, you're not the only one. Amen. You're not the only one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going back. It's all right. Come on. You can pray. I'm not going back. I'm not staying still. I'm going through. Amen. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Isaiah 43, 1 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. You guys are all right. Just keep praying. It's okay. Praise the Lord. This is a house of prayer. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Amen. He's going to carry us through. He's going to be with us through every situation, every trial. We can't believe one single lie and make it. But if we'll believe the truth, we will move forward. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to go through. I'm making it through. You're going to make it through. Hallelujah. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Go ahead and sit on the front row there. Go ahead and sit on the front row. Have a seat. I told you. You may be seated. I told you. And this is very important. This is just the last few minutes here. I told you I'm going to tell you how to move forward. This is the only way to do it, okay? Listen, it's right here in Scripture. Matthew 16:24. Matthew 6, this is the only way forward. It seems unlikely. It seems like this isn't the right answer, but it is. This is how we move forward right here. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. How to move forward. What does this look like practically? Number one, and these are from verse 24. Go back to verse 24, my brother. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. This is not the same as self-denial. Denying yourself is not the same as self-denial. Sounds the same, but it's not the same. Listen, all the athletes in the Olympics, they practice self-denial. They didn't eat certain foods, and they didn't go out with their friends. They exercised. They practiced. They practiced self-denial. Amen. But they did it in preparation for a competition. And the goal was the glory of winning that gold medal. It was the glory of winning that compelled them into self-denial. So what does it look like when we deny ourselves? We deny ourselves not the same way as some religions, some cults will practice extreme self-denial. They'll do it for an earthly recognition of their devotion. When we fast and pray, don't do it so that people will look at you. Do it in secret, Brother Andre. He mentioned that was right on that scripture. Do it in secret. Your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. If you do it for earthly recognition of your humility, you're getting that reward. Yeah, you'll get a round of applause. Some cults will crawl on glass. They're hurting themselves, harming themselves. They'll even hang themselves on a cross to show the whole world that they're like Jesus. Listen, that's for an earthly reward. What does denying yourself mean? Denying yourself means that you yield all self-control to the hands of the Master. That you give Jesus control. That it's not my will, but thine be done. That's denying yourself. Deny yourself. And then pick up your cross daily. This is not our own cross, because this is the same thing as an earthly reward. We don't have each individual our own cross. But the Bible says that we are crucified with Christ. This is the cross of Jesus, not my own. And to pick up my cross daily means to acknowledge every single day that we belong to God. That I'm in His hands. That I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I have been crucified with Christ. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 3:20. You deny yourself. You pick up your cross, and then you follow Christ. That's what moving forward looks like. Pick up your cross. Amen. Seeking to overcome the past, the present self, by self-effort is a hopeless struggle. Yourself will never cast out yourself. Your flesh will never crucify your flesh. But if you follow Jesus, amen, you'll never have this problem. You'll never have this issue of denying yourself and taking up your cross. Amen. If we will just submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will find it easy to follow the great shepherd of our soul. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." If you think the Spirit of God is going to keep you stagnant and keep you going back, you're wrong. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to move forward. He wants you to grow in Him. If you will seek the face of Jesus Christ, if you will follow after Him with your whole heart, it will be easy to live for God. It will be easy to move forward. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 25. Put it up there, brother. We've got to sacrifice the low life to gain abundant life. Sacrifice the low life to gain abundant life. If all you want is disappointment, seek the things of the world. If all you want is heartache, shoot for the things of the world. Shoot low. Because there's no lasting pleasure in the world. Because everything is eventually lost. You spend all your time and all your efforts trying to gain worldly things. It's just going to disappoint you. But the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I'm talking about moving forward here. Amen. This is how we move forward. Praise the Lord. If you seek the things of God, amen, you will also know Him. You will know Him right now. Praise the Lord. 1 John 2:17 says, "For the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Number 5, next verse 26. Sacrifice earthly pleasure for the pleasures of heaven. What would you exchange for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? A few extra hours at work? A show? A game? Go fishing? A promotion? A one-night stand? A little high or a buzz? Is that worth it? No. Sacrifice those earthly pleasures for the pleasures of heaven. If you think that worldly gain can replace the things of God and the fruit of the Spirit, you're believing a lie. And it will cause you to be lost. These things, the things of God, only come from being in Christ. From being grafted into the vine. Amen. The source of all goodness. The source of all meekness and kindness and gentleness and love and peace. That's the source of all these things. Deny earthly pleasures to gain real, righteous, wonderful pleasures of God. Amen. And then lastly, the last verse, verse 27. You've got to sacrifice temporary things to gain eternal things. You've got to sacrifice these. Everything in this world is temporal. This is temporal. This building is temporal. Amen. Our flesh is temporal. It's all just temporary. If all you want is temporary things, keep seeking the world. Amen. But if you want eternal things, things that will last, seek God and His righteousness. Amen. Listen. We've seen over the years many, many people come in and out. And so we kind of start to know almost pretty quickly, who's going to last? Who's going to be gone one day, or here one day, gone the next? And we pray and think the best for people. But one of the most sure signs of your spiritual growth is if you are patient and you're able to wait patiently for things that will last. If you're willing to do a Bible study, if you're willing to come to prayer meeting, if you're willing to come on Wednesday night, if you go to the district things, and you're not just thinking about, oh, I got to get this job, I got to get this promotion, I got to get this and that and the other. If you're coming, if you're saying, oh, I can't wait to get into the next elements class, you're waiting patiently. It's okay. If we see that maturity, that sign of spiritual growth, amen, one of which is prayer. Prayer is just, it's a sign of spiritual growth. Because prayer is an action that in and of itself says, I'm going to put these things that are my present concerns into the hands of God, and we will see what God does with them. I'm okay. I'm all right letting it go. I'm going to put those things into the hands of God. I'm not going to get impatient because of this, that, and the other. No. I want God to work in my life. Because when God does a work, it's an eternal work. He doesn't do temporary. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. When we wait patiently for those things that are lasting, we're like Moses. In Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, it says, by faith, Moses, Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Eventually, everything in this earth will be destroyed. But having confidence that you are a child of God will keep you moving forward until you walk right up those streets of gold into everlasting life. Believing the truth. It's that simple. Believe the truth. If you've been born again, you are a child and a son of God, a daughter of God. Amen. Start acting like it. Start doing things that shows that you are an ambassador for Christ. That you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Forsake those old things. Amen. Philippians 3:12. This was the theme of our district encounter. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I move forward, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brother Jerry Jones did a magnificent job preaching, I've got to get a hold of the thing that has a hold of me. Amen. If you want that link, I'll send you the YouTube link for it. You can watch it. Amen. I highly recommend. Watch all of those videos. Praise the Lord. Brethren, Paul's not going to get impatient here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I can't go back and I can't stand still, but I can move forward. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. One more passage of Scripture and then we're going to have this altar call. Praise the Lord. But if you feel stuck, Do the only thing that will help you. Let Jesus touch you. Reach out. Touch Jesus. Amen. Mark 5:25. Now Jesus here, He's on His way. Jesus has a very busy schedule this day. He's on His way. A ruler of the Jews reached out to Him. And Jairus, his daughter, had died. And Jesus is, okay, let's go. He gets to the disciples. So let's go. He tells them, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And in this story, He's on the way. He's got an appointment, Pastor. Jesus is busy. And He's on the way. And then as He's going down the street, people start to surround Him. And they're almost blocking His path. And He's got an appointment to get to. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, keep up with me, had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Listen to this situation. This is tough. This is hard. She suffered so many things. She had been in this situation for 12 years, stuck in the mud, if you will. She was stuck where she was. And she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind Him, and touched His garment. Keep going. For she said, if I may but just touch His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and why sayest thou, who touched me? And she looked around about, and He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. What was the difference between this woman and the people that were around Jesus? They were all touching Him. They were all close to Him. They were all there around Him trying to get His attention. She wasn't even trying to get His attention. But she had faith. She did something that showed that she believed that Jesus was going to make her whole. That was the difference. If you want a difference in your life today, you've got to touch Jesus in faith. You've got to believe the Word of God which we've heard. You've got to believe who you are in Jesus. Amen. And you've got to press. You've got to do whatever it takes. Get down on your hands and knees if you have to. But cry out to Jesus. Touch Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Put it in Jesus' hands. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand together all over this place? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 34 says, and He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. Praise the Lord. Isn't there something about the presence of the Lord? That after you come into the presence of the Lord, you've got all your issues and all your problems, and you've got turmoil, and you've got situations happening in your life, and maybe you don't know where the next paycheck's going to come from, or maybe you don't know what you're going to do about this situation and about that situation. Isn't there just something about God's presence that after you come in and you reach out and you touch the Lord, that He gives you peace? He's going to come today and say, fear not. He's come today to say, it's all right. You can move forward. You can stay. You can't stay where you are. You can't go back. But you can move forward. Praise the Lord. If right now God has been talking to your heart and God has been telling you, I need to take another step towards God. I need to make another move towards the Lord. Somebody, just like these folks that came earlier, somebody step forward, step out of your seat and move forward to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, it only takes one or two, but follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to follow you, Lord God, every day, Lord Jesus. I don't want to just be healed, but God, I want to be made whole and complete in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, come on, somebody's bringing their family. Somebody's bringing their friends. Somebody's bringing situations that have plagued you for years. Somebody's been stuck for years. Don't know what to do. Hallelujah. Somebody's got to reach out and touch the Master. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, Jesus is not too busy to hear your cry. Jesus is not too busy. Come on, lift up your hands. Oh, hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Close your eyes. Block out all distractions. Oh, Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, I pray today that all across this place, Lord Jesus, that there would faith would rise, God. You've seen that they stepped forward, Lord Jesus, that they moved forward.